All right, you open your Bible with me to John 6. And our Lord said in verse 48, that's where we'll start our message. John 6, verse 48, he says, I am that bread of life. Our Lord reveals himself as Jehovah God. I am. Every time he uses this word, I am, he's declaring unto us that he is the eternal, almighty, living God. When they came to arrest him in the garden, the soldiers, with their weapons and host of people, they said, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth." He asked them, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am." And they fell backwards. The whole host just fell backward before that declaration, "I am, I am." The translators added "he," but he said, "I am." He said, "If you believe not that I am, you're dying your sins." He said, "I am the good shepherd. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he'll be saved. Go in and out and find pasture. I am the resurrection and the life." Moses said unto God, "Listen, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and I say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me, and they shall say to me, what's his name? What shall I say?" And God said to Moses, "I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am sent you." That's it. So over here he says, "I am Jehovah God." And he says, "I am that bread." Our Lord reveals himself as being essential to our salvation. He uses an essential element. Without bread, we can't survive. "I am that bread of life. I am meat." He said, "I am the water of life. I'm the light of the world, the sun." You can't survive without those three things: food, water, and light, sunshine. And "I am the bread. I am the water. I am the light." And then he reveals himself not only as Jehovah God and as essential to life, but he reveals himself exclusively. He said, "I'm that bread." Verse 35, back then, verse 35, he said, "I'm the bread of life. I'm not a bread, a kind of bread. I'm the bread." And here in verse 48, he says, "I am that bread." And in verse 51, he says, "I am the living bread," exclusively. There is no other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the only way. I am the truth. No man comes to the Father but by me." None other name under heaven. Jehovah God, the essential one and the exclusive one. And then he reveals himself here as a gift. Where did we get this bread? I look back at verse 32. Our Lord said in verse 32, "I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." It's a gift of God. Verse 33. "The bread of God is he which cometh down from the world and giveth his life unto the world." It's not something we earn. The wages of sin is death. That's what we earn. The gift of God is the bread of life. Verse 37. "All that the Father giveth me will come to me." This is the gift of God. The gift of God. "All who receive Christ." This is what I'm saying. All who receive Christ receive him as the gift of God. "All who lay hold of eternal life do so with an empty hand." Top lady captured it in that song. In my hands, no price I bring. Simply to the cross of Christ I cling. All who come to the table of the Lord bring nothing but their hunger. As the hymn writer said, let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. It's a gift of God. All right, look at the next verse, verse 49. Your fathers, and they had reminded him about Moses and the manna, he said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. They ate that bread in the wilderness, and they're dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, which that a man may eat thereof and not die. The manna God gave Israel had no saving power or spiritual power. It was only a picture of Christ. It was material. It was an element God gave them. And these were some of the characteristics of that manna. Let's read about it, though, in Exodus 16. Let's read about the manna, and then I'll give you some characteristics of that manna. And as we read it, remember this manna in the wilderness, this bread in the wilderness, is a picture of Christ, a type of Christ. In Exodus 16, verse 11, and the Lord spake to Moses, saying, I've heard the murmuring of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh. He gave them the quails, you know. And in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even, in the evening, the quails came up and covered the camp. That's pretty good eating. And we used to hunt quail, that white breast. Delicious. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host, and when the dew that lay had gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And the children of Israel, when they saw it, they said one to another, what is it? It is manna. What is it? That's what that word means. It's a portion. They wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread the Lord's given you to eat. Now, what are some characteristics of that bread that make a picture of Christ? Well, number one, it was prepared in heaven and sent down to earth. They didn't do a thing. They didn't contribute anything to this manna. It was prepared in heaven. It came down, sent down. Christ, the body thou hast prepared me. My Father sent me. Secondly, it was mysterious. They said, what is it? Never seen anything like it. Couldn't explain it. Mysterious. Christ Jesus the Lord. Mary said, how can I have a son? I don't know a man. That can't be. A virgin can't have a son. What is it? Mysterious. That holy, the angel just summed up Christ's incarnation and miraculous birth this way. That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So, thirdly, manna was a gift. It cost nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just eat it. If you got an appetite, you're hungry, eat it. It was plentiful. Plentiful. Nobody lacked. Nobody had more than he needed. You don't need more of Christ than he gives. He's everything. And nobody lacked. Nobody had a crown. Somebody else had a straw hat. No, they all had the same thing. They all had life. And it was sweet. Over in Exodus 16, it says in verse 31 about this manna. In Exodus 16, 31, the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. It was like coriander seed, white. What did it taste like? I'll tell you what it tasted like wafers made with honey. Mike, we love that, don't we? Mike just smiled. He's a honey eater. He's a bee chaser. He loves honey. I do, too. Oh, what is better than wafers with honey? And it was sweet to the taste, as is Christ. But like every, you know, our Lord says here, though, in verse 49, your fathers did eat this manna, and they're dead. Now, here's the problem with manna. It's a picture of Christ, but there are ways in which it's not a picture of Christ. Number one, this manna was bread only for the outward man, the flesh. Couldn't do a thing for the spirit. And that goes for any relic of religion or any type of religion or any candle burning you could take, the Jews did this. Israel, when Moses lifted up that serpent, and they looked and they lived, you know what they did? They took that serpent down and some carpenter built a box for it and lined it with beautiful velvet and put that thing in the box. And they put it in the temple and worshiped him. And Hezekiah became the king, and he ground the thing to powder. He said it's a worthless piece of brass. Yeah, but Moses built it. It's a worthless piece of brass. Yeah, but we've looked and lived. It's a worthless piece of brass. It's like the cross that they have on their churches. It's a worthless piece of wood. It's like all the crosses that they use and the crosses at the show and all this sort of, it's a worthless piece of wood. But Christ died on it. It's a worthless piece of wood. He died on it and saved his people. You could die on it and go to hell. And that's true of any relic you find that has a religious significance. And that goes for going to the Holy Land and walking behind these preachers that you pay for your trip, they get a free one to take you. You know that, don't you? And get paid so much for each one they take, and take them around and look at those relics and play in front of them. Waste of time. That manna had nothing to do with the inner man, just the outer man. Number two, it spoiled after a day. Some of them tried to gather it a whole lot in the morning and put it in the closet. They went in there and it stunk the next day. The Lord told them not to. Give us this day our daily bread. Christ is eternal. You can fill your heart full of Christ. He'll be just as sweet tomorrow as he was today. That's right. But that bread stunk after a day. Thirdly, it was only found in the morning. You couldn't. If you got hungry in the afternoon, you just had to wait on the quail because you don't. It's not there. Let me tell you. Any time that you have a hunger, you come to me and drink. You come to me and eat. You feed on Christ 24 hours a day. Bob, when you're driving down the highway at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to get home, you know, just call on him. He's there always, isn't he? Always there. Not like manna, only in the morning. I'll tell you another thing. When they went into Canaan, the manna ceased. No more manna. When they entered, crossed Jericho, crossed the river Jordan, town of Jericho, went into the, no more manna. But I'll tell you, when I crossed the river Jordan and come into Canaan, he's going to be on the throne. My Lord, my manna, sweet to the taste, yes. They ate and they're dead. But now look at verse 51. Now you listen to our Lord. Four powerful statements. This is so important here. Verse 51. I am the living bread. I am the living bread. Because I live, you live. The living bread. He said, I'm the living stone. I'm the living word. I'm the living hope. I am life. He said in Revelation 1:8, I am he that liveth. I was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. I'm the living bread. And then secondly, I came down from heaven. I was with the Father. I came from the Father. I'll go back to the Father. No man hath ascended into heaven except the Son of Man which came down from heaven, which is in heaven. I came down from heaven. Listen, if any man eat of this bread, he'll live forever. Now I'm telling you, this is as certain and as sure as God's throne. Our Lord said, if any man eat of this bread, he'll live forever. If he eats, he lives forever. That makes me mighty interested in what eating this bread is. He'll live forever. Well, what is it? Here it is. And the bread that I'll give is my flesh, which I'll give for the life of the world. Now, this is a key. Listen closely. This bread, if a man eats thereof, he'll live forever. And this bread that I will give is my flesh, my human body. We're talking about his human body. That's right. Remember that. And I'll show you that in several scriptures. Now, first turn to Luke 22. Luke 22. What is it to eat his flesh? We're talking about his human body. Drink his blood, his human blood. Just keep that in mind. He said, this bread is my flesh. Not apart from his deity now. He's God, I know that. But he's the God-man. He's a man. All right, Luke 22, verse 19 and 20. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So this bread is my body, human body. This wine is my blood, human blood. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And reading these scriptures helped me to understand what it is to eat his flesh and drink his blood. In 1 Corinthians 10, 16, Paul said in verse 15, I speak as to the wise men, judge you what I say. Verse 16, 1 Corinthians 10, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not the communion or fellowship of the body of Christ? His human body, we're talking about. Christ as God has no body. God has no body. God is spirit. But Christ said, this bread is my body. This blood is my blood. Blood in this body. All right, turn, if you will, to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 5. Hebrews 10, 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. God prepared Christ a body. All right, verse 10 of that same chapter, Hebrews 10, verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And as I said, not apart from his deity, not apart from his soul being made an offering for sin, he offered himself a sacrifice for sin. But this we're talking about here is Christ crucified. Christ in his body, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace upon him, by stripes. You can't put stripes on a soul or a spirit, you put stripes on a body. By stripes we're healed. It's Christ crucified that's the object of our faith. It's Christ crucified. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I determined to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. We preach Christ and him crucified. By stripes we're healed, his body. So he says here in verse 51, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread that I'll give is my flesh, my body. I saw one hanging on a tree, wrote Newton, in agony and blood. He seemed to fix his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Sure never to my latest breath shall I forget that look. He seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. But a second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for your ransom paid. I died that you may live. Oh, can it be upon the tree the Savior died for me. My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled to think he died for me. Peter said he suffered the just for the unjust. Suffered the just for the unjust, he might bring us to God. And so the Jews asked this question, verse 52, which I ask is my text. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They understood what he said. This bread is my flesh. This bread is my body. They understood that. And so they came to this conclusion, like Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb? He knew Christ was talking about a new birth. And they knew Christ was talking about his body and his blood. And they said, well, how can he give us his body to eat? And he answered, verse 53. Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say to you now, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What's he mean? Well, Christ became a man of blood and flesh to redeem us. The scripture says, by man came death. By man, flesh and blood and bone came death. By man, flesh and blood and bones came life. And the word to eat his flesh and drink his blood is a spiritual receiving of Christ the man. Christ the God-man by faith. Not just believing that there's a God. Not just believing that God, who is spirit, is almighty and sovereign and saved. But believing that God actually came down here in the flesh. In a body of flesh and blood. And that he obeyed the law and he went to the cross. And that body, that flesh was bruised and broken and bleeding. God in human flesh actually died for my sins. Put away my guilt. My hand would lay on that head of thine all my sins. And there confessed them on that body. It is to believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, is truly a man, and as a man, went to the cross and bled and died for my sins. That's what it is to eat his flesh, to receive the God-man. Like to satisfy your hunger and your thirst, you drink water or eat bread. To satisfy my spiritual emptiness and inability and wickedness and sin and hunger and thirst and to know God is actually take in that man, his body and his blood. Turn to 1 John 4. And this is what John is saying right here. 1 John chapter 4. It's spiritual eating, but it's a spiritual eating of a man, of flesh and blood. I cannot be saved by just believing there's a God. The devil believes there's a God. I'm saved by believing that God became a man. Like this man, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He came down from heaven in the flesh and did everything that the law required, that justice demanded, that God required, that heaven demanded. And I'm he. And he is us. 1 John, look at chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This bread is my flesh. That's what he said. This bread is my flesh. Isn't that what he said over in 51? This bread that I give is my flesh. And that's what I believe. He's come in the flesh. And if a man doesn't believe that, he's not of God. He's an antichrist. Flesh. His blood is shed for our sins. And we partake of and enjoy all the spiritual blessings purchased by him through his broken body and shed blood. Through our union with him, we have redemption. I have pardon and peace and life. And as day by day, as I feed on Christ, this is what we're doing now. We're growing in grace. How? We're feeding on His, on Christ. This is the word of Christ. The promise of Christ. This is the gospel of Christ. And just like our children eat properly and drink properly and they grow properly. And this feeding upon Christ increases our knowledge of Him and produces a growth in grace. And this is our food and drink of the spiritual man. His life maintains that spiritual life. Does that help you? It helped me so much. In verse 53, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man. That's who saves me. The key is the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of God. The Son of God got no flesh. It's the Son of Man. He became a man. He's declared to be who he is, but he was made what he wasn't, a man. But that's how he saved me. Without that, I'm not saved. I've got to have a sacrifice and atonement. Verse 54, listen. And whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, he has life. He has eternal life. He has the nature of life. He's a partaker, Peter said, of divine nature. He has the giver of life. Christ, who is our life, shall appear. He has the hope of life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He has the pledge of life. The Holy Spirit is our earnest, our pledge of life. He has the promise. Promise. He said, I'll raise him up. I'll raise him up at the last day. Now, verse 55. You've got to see this. Verse 55. Here's the reason. Here's the reason. Let me read 54 and then, whoso eateth my flesh, the Son of Man, drinketh my blood by faith, spiritually, he has life, and I'll raise him up far, because my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. What's the word indeed mean? Truly. What's he referring to? The manna? It's bread, but not bread indeed. Bread in type. My flesh is meat indeed, true living meat. My blood is drink indeed, living water. In opposition to that which is typical, you find the rock that Moses smote. If you do, put it out in your garden. Ain't no water coming in that rock now. But my blood is drink indeed. Find the manna. No power. Find all those sin offerings under the law. Find the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, and all those things. Of no use. The reason, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have eternal life, because my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh, verse 56, and drinketh my blood, he dwells in me. He dwells in my heart. I love him. He dwells in my hands, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. He dwells in my arms, the everlasting arms. He dwells in my body. I'm his head. He dwells in me as the branch, and I the vine. He dwells in me as his mediator. He dwells in me on the cross, in the grave, and now in heaven. He dwells in me, and I dwell in him. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Faith is not the cause of Christ dwelling in me. Faith is the means by which I receive him, though, in my heart, and by which I have communion with him. Now watch this, verse 57. As the living Father hath sent me. Who prepared Christ the body? The Father. He said, the body you prepared. Who indwelt that body by the power of his Spirit? God said to John the Baptist, on whom you see the Spirit descend, he's the Son of God. Who sustained him? He said, Father, glorify me that I may glorify you. Who sustained him and kept him? The Father. Who raised him from the dead? The Father. Who called him to glory and seated him at his right hand? The Father. Who gave him the promise? Your enemies are your footstool, the Father. As the Father has sent me, and I live by him. Jesus Christ is the promise of the Father and the product of the Father. Even so, he that eateth me, he'll live by me. All right. As a man, he had his human life from God. He was preserved, upheld by the Father. He laid down his life at the command of the Father. He committed his soul to the Father. He was raised and exalted by the Father. So, he that believes on me, Christ said, shall live by me. I have my life from Christ. He's my food and my drink on which I live. By him each day I'm upheld, I'm preserved, and by him, and only by him, by his will, I'll be brought to glory. So he that eateth me, he lives by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Now, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eats this bread will live forever. What was the response of the people? Twofold. Many, therefore, of his hearers, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Nobody can understand this. And our Lord knew in himself that these people murmured, and he said, does this offend you? Wait till you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. If you think the things of God that he does with us and in us and for us down here are glorious, Paul said, I went to the third heaven. I heard things I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you. You wouldn't believe it. You couldn't imagine it. And that's what he's saying to them. But it's the Spirit that gives understanding, that quickens, that gives life. The flesh doesn't profit anything anyway. You could get you 7 degrees from the greatest universities in the world and still couldn't understand the Scripture. That's right. And yet, you can have a third grade education just able to read it. Or let somebody read it to you. No education at all. Just let somebody read it to you. And if the Holy Spirit reveals it, you'll understand. You'll know what it is to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Everybody that has the Spirit of God will walk out of this morning knowing exactly what it is to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And folks that go out confused came in that way. That's right. These people came in confused. And they went out confused. But some of them didn't. Listen. Verse 64, there are some that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Therefore he said, I said unto you that no man can come to me, except it were given him of my Father. And from that time they just left. Walked no more with him. Then he turned to the 12 and said, will you go away? And Simon Peter answered for all of us, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. This is the word of life. He's the word. He's the bread. He's the water. He's the life. And we believe and assure you're Christ, the Son of the living God. You're a man. You're a man. A redeemer. But you're the Son of God. All right, that's it. That's it. That's what it is to eat his flesh and drink his blood.